listening to First Church Charlotte.
Thank you to all of you. I know I've talked to many of you who didn't think you were going to be able to make it, and the Lord opened a door in your job situation today where you are able to, you know, pretend like you were sick and go to church. I know, you know how you do. I don't feel well, but if I can go to church, they're going to pray for me and I'm going to feel really good. No, y'all don't do that. Just having fun. That's just something that, you know, I would do. And so, to our guests, our friends, glad you're here. This is an anointing service. We do this at least once a quarter. And if you've never been an anointing service tomorrow before, I want you to know what to expect. We have one of the best preachers in the whole wide world here tonight. And we also have my older brother who's going to be preaching. To the people who watch afar off on the video service, I'm cutting up, okay? In an anointing service, at the end of the service, we're going to have some of our leadership, we're going to have some of our prayer chaplains, we're going to come down the front, and I want every one of you who will, you're not obligated, of course, but if you will, I'd like you to plan on making your way through that prayer line and let somebody fulfill the biblical doctrine of anointing you with oil and speaking the anointing and the promises of God over your life. We need that. We need that. So that will be at the conclusion of the service. Also, First Step starts back this Sunday after the 11 a.m. service. Next Saturday will be the beginning of our mentoring series on Saturday morning about 9:30 next door. I just want you to be aware of that. I particularly want all of my young adults, my leader, people who are passionate for leadership, who want to grow. We're going to have a great time in that. So that's what's coming up. Tonight, it is our honor to sincerely, and I mean this sincerely, to have one of my favorite preachers in the whole world, and that is my much older brother, David Timothy Elms, who is here, and he's much, much wiser and much older than I am. And not only that, but we have his wife, who is a Christian artist superstar, a legitimate rock and roll star here in the house, ridiculously talented. When I taught her vocal lessons, I didn't know how far she would take this. We're so honored to have them. This is what I want us to do. I don't want us to treat them like guest speakers and guest singers. They are us. They're family. And so the best thing we can do is just open our hearts and not go through the adjustment period, okay? These are us. They are us. And we are going to receive them right now. Let's all stand together right now. I'm going to turn this pulpit to Brother David Elms. And he's coming as we help him get up the steps there. That's right. That's right, brother. If someone could bring a cane to the... No.
Thank you, Nathan, Joel. I don't know why my parents named me David and then Nathan as a little brother, other than the fact that he was to correct me my whole life. Hallelujah. Well, it is certainly a joy to be with you all. You may be seated in Jesus' name. My wife and I are just going to sing a little bit. I often request myself to sing, and so we're going to do that tonight. I'm going to sing a solo with her. She'll join me as I sing a solo. And then she's going to sing a little while, and I'll go sit down and let her do it. And then I'm going to come preach a little bit tonight. I'm going to preach on the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. And we'll talk about that a little while. I hope you have brought your thinking caps, your Bibles. You're ready to hear the word of the Lord and look at it intensely with a fresh viewpoint, because as people of God, we want to be accurate with our scripture understanding. I don't want to miss what the Bible's trying to tell me just because I've been around it my whole life. And so having said that, I was intending to be here on Wednesday. I'm so sorry that we weren't able to be with you. In all my days of traveling, which are many, at 50 years old, you can say that stuff. But in those days, I've never had an encounter of travel challenge that like I had on Wednesday. And I won't go through the whole thing for you. I'll just say it was the Lord's will that Nathan Joel Elms preach on Wednesday night. And I'm sure that there's nobody who can work in the vineyard of the Lord like the man that's assigned to that vineyard. And so you're never just filling in when you're the pastor. You're on purpose and on assignment. It's been a very busy week, and of course, a very hot week. I'm telling you, in Fort Lauderdale, we had July 4th Monday, and I stood out on the Fort Lauderdale beach and watched. It's Tuesday, actually. We threw a big party for one of our board members' wife, and I saw 10 cities fireworks displays all at the same time. It's the first time in all these years, 25 years pastoring in Fort Lauderdale, I've never done that. But if you go out on the beach at the point at Port Everglades, you can see Miami, Hollywood, Kendall, Fort Lauderdale, Boca, Pompano, Lauder Hill, and I believe there was one more over here that would have been Pembroke Pines. 10 serious fireworks displays. It was quite amazing, but it was so hot. And then I got here. I got on the plane to come here, and the generator that ran the air conditioner on that was out. So I thought, well, I've landed. My mom and dad certainly will take care of me. And when I got to their house and got upstairs, it was 84 degrees. Yeah. I mean, I feel the need to quote some Shakespeare right now. Spring has sprung and fall has fell. Summer's come and it's hot as all get out. I hate it when you think bad of me like that. No, I July 4th, I love America. I thank God for America. I watched fireworks with a guy who had returned from Afghanistan, and he told me he was jumpy. He said, you know, he was an IED deliverer. He said, you know, everybody likes July 4th except a lot of soldiers. He said, if I can see it's going to pop, I'm okay. But if I can't see it and it goes off, I get really jumpy. You know, sometimes you see people and they won't stand with the singing of the national anthem. And I just think, what in the world's going on? I want to fight. But you think I ought to be a better person than that, shouldn't I? Well, everybody can't be perfect, but I just want to thank God for this country, and I like to do that, and I thank God for America. We're getting older. I've got 3 kids in college, and my baby's in high school, and they say you shrink a little as you get older. I'm a little short for my weight right now, but it's. I think it comes with that. But it's great to be in the house of the Lord with every one of you all. And we're going to sing an old song. We're just going to be old-fashioned because that's what I am. And if you're new and you don't know these songs, guess what? Learn them because they're good ones. You ready, baby? All right.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord with you, and there's so many people here I love so much, and there's many of you I don't know very well, and it's a blessing to have you in the house as well, and many memories of mine are on this property, and many, many people in this church I have memories with, and I can't begin to start talking down memory lane because I've got to teach or treat some doctrine tonight, and that's going to take a little bit of time, but it's great to see all of you. Young man Michael Warbington, it's good to see him. He's a friend of ours. He calls me occasionally. I met him in the New Jersey District Conference I was doing many years ago. How long? We won't go there. But it's great to see him. And also Alexander Carballa, this young man is from Fort Lauderdale. He was filled with the Holy Ghost in our church, baptized in Jesus' name in our church. And his daughter still comes when he's down, and she's headed to Youth Congress with our youth group. But he got transferred to run the IT department of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Airport, International Airport. He is the top dog there, and I'm just ticked off about it. I'm not happy about it at all, because he was really up in the Fort Lauderdale airport, and for some reason they pulled him up here. But I said, well, if he's got to go anywhere, why not Charlotte? That's right. In fact, he had just graduated up into a position of being one of our top ushers. And he was one of the happiest faces at the back door, so conscientious. And if you didn't scoot over for him, he would karate shop you. So he was just the kind we liked. No, no, he's super nice. Alex, it's great to see you in the Lord's house tonight. I am reading tonight. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? I'm going to give you what I feel in my spirit tonight. I'm reading from the book of Acts, the first chapter. A very familiar verse, and I have been doing a series on Sunday mornings at my church called The Doctrines of the Church, and I have preached them. I told my church I'm trying to teach, but I'm supposed to preach, so we'll just preach. And so I am so full. I've talked about the doctrine of a certain doctrine. I've talked about the doctrine of a sound doctrine. I've talked about the doctrine of praise. I've talked about the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. There's a doctrine of evangelism. There's a doctrine of separation. And so I have been just marching through the word. And by so doing, I've been using a lot of scriptures. And our presentation man up there tonight has got a long list of them. So what I'm going to ask you to do is try to employ your brain. I mean, wake up. If you feel like you're going to sleep, slap yourself in the face. If you look over at your neighbor and they're going to sleep, slap them in the face. And let's all work together to make sure we stay aware of what the Holy Ghost wants to do in us on this Friday night. Listen, it's a party night in the city. At least it is in Fort Lauderdale. And it used to be back here when the only thing that was open late at night was Krispy Kreme in Independence. See, I know. I grew up here. The only thing open was Taco Bell down there at Central and Central and Sharon Amity. There was a Taco Bell. It used to be right there. And then the Krispy Kreme downtown. All right, you ready for the word of the Lord? When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to know a very important question. They wanted the kingdom to come on earth as it was in heaven, and they wanted everybody to know about it. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, that's not what I want you to know about. I want you to know what you're going to get, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto all the uttermost part of the earth. And that's where I want to start tonight. I honor my brother and his sweet wife and their two beautiful children. I thank the Lord for them. Sister Ellery is ready to shout in the aisle, and she's there in the Lord's house. I love my little Ellery, and I love my big Durant. And it's great to see my Aunt Jolaine and my Uncle David and my grandma. She's got a little cough. But that's all right. She's dismissed. She didn't have to come church tonight. I dismissed her. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. My mom and dad, when you come preach here, you got to go through this stuff. I love my mama and I love my daddy. Go ahead and preach. The Bible said in the last days that iniquity shall abound, and because of that, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, iniquity is a word that means lawlessness. That's all it means. It means there's no boundaries that is respected by the people. Iniquity is a lack of respect for boundaries. The laws are negotiable, and so everything is a negotiation, and there is no solid word or sure word. Now, the Lord made it very plainly that there is no excuse if you don't follow his word. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. He didn't say if you're sincere and you follow a blind man, the only the man you're following fall in the ditch. He didn't say your tears, your sincerity mattered. He said, you got to know what you believe. And so there is a very big importance in this hour where spiritual church is growing more than ever before. I think churches now that are in America are having more spiritual services than they've ever had before. Their worship is more from the, I don't want to say it's more from the heart, but it's more expression driven and more passion based, or it is visible and people show that more. But having said that, it does not excuse us from getting away from knowing what we believe and building our life on the doctrines that are certain. Some ask if God grades on a curve. The Bible said in Psalm 28, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Now, we know the wicked are going to be destroyed. We are in this place to turn the wicked toward God. But we've got to also recognize that we have to have our doctrine sound and sure. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might do something, that you might do something. Not that you might shout and dance and come to church and have a Holy Ghost party all the time. No, there is a process that is required for the transformation of your mind. And that is that you may prove something. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So as we get into this process of knowing what is the Holy Ghost all about, why is it so critical? Why can we never have church without it? I will not preach without the Holy Ghost. I won't have church without a move of the Holy Ghost. Having a move of the Holy Ghost is so critical for the church to be what the church is supposed to be. It's because there is an expectation that the church has to go about. So we got to distill down, why did Jesus come? Are you still with me? Yeah. I'm going to talk fast and then we're going to have an altar call, all right? But stay with me. We got to figure out, why did Jesus come? We know John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he came and he said, I'm unworthy to unloose the shoe of him that cometh after me. I indeed baptize you with what? Water. Everybody shout water. But there's one coming after me that shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. John came to declare the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus came to instill the kingdom of heaven and its beginning work on the earth. And so the entire reason Jesus came, it was told to us by the angel when it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So we know why Jesus came. He came to save us, all mankind, from our sin. Now, when you talk about the Holy Ghost, you have to start in discussing the birth of water and the birth of spirit. John 3:5, Nicodemus wanted to talk about signs and wonders and miracles and all kinds of big elaborate spiritual events. But Jesus wanted to talk about the birth of water and of spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then John went back and said, what are you talking about? And Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. what does it mean to be born again except that you be born of water, which is baptism in Jesus' name, and of the Spirit, which is baptism of the Spirit within our soul? And we know that, we believe that, we practice that, we model that, we show that forth, but we've got to learn why this event is so critical to us. John the Baptist was talking in John 3, 15 through 16. He said, and as the people were in expectation that all men mused in their hearts of John, they were trying to figure out if John was the Messiah. John answered and said to them all, I do one thing. I baptize with water. But he that's coming after you, me, will baptize you in a second manner. It's different than mine. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So here is a baptism of water that was already practiced by John the Baptist. And here comes a man, Jesus, who he said will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we see two different baptisms. Baptism of water, which is critical to your salvation. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But that baptism does not just apply to the baptism of water. There are two baptisms. There's the baptism of the Spirit, and there's the baptism of the water. There's two altars in the tabernacle. Now, I'm getting off. I'm not going to come back out of the tabernacle. I'm not going to get into that. Two baptisms are critical in the story of Jesus. This is why he told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus on John, in the book of John, verses 7:37, in that last, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if any man's desiring, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living or spring water. And then the writer of this gospel, John, put in parenthesis and said, but this spake he of the what? Y'all don't have the scripture up? All right, let's keep rolling. Give me verse 38. You know why you don't have it? I did the same thing to you that I did the people in my church. I didn't put the dash in all the other verses that I would be reading, and you were already moving on to the next verse, weren't you? You're good like that. This, he that believeth on me, after the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit. What kind of spirit is that? What's, how do you know it's the Holy Ghost Spirit? It has a what? A capital S. Did you know that every time you're reading your Bible, there's a capital S? It's not talking about your spirit. It's talking about God's spirit. These things are important for us to learn when we're establishing how we're going to have emotional, spiritual church services. He spake these things of the Spirit, which they that believeth on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why was it not yet given? Isn't there Old Testament revelation that the Holy Ghost had moved upon people, had come upon people at times? Yes, the Spirit moved on David. The Spirit moved on Samson. There are many others that the Spirit moved upon. But why is it saying it was not yet given? I'm about to show you something, and I hope you'll understand why we are a church that believes in one God. One God. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we're seeing a little glimpse that the Holy Ghost, even though the God is a spirit and God is holy, the Holy Ghost existed. It wasn't yet given because Jesus wasn't yet glorified. Stay with me. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. We're talking about both baptism of water and of the Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so here we are, people of the Spirit, people that want to be accurate in our biblical interpretation. We want to know about context, pretext. We want to know about setting. We want to know about proper interpretation. As we're learning about this, because a move of the Spirit is an offshoot. It's not the destination. It's the offshoot of having your approach to God proper. If you approach God right, you don't have to worry about having a move of the Lord in your heart and in your life and in your spirit. You come to him with great faith, believing the outpouring is just an offshoot of having a move of proper relationship with Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, this is going to be a moment of Trinitarian understanding for a moment, because so many people think, oh, we're anti-Trinity. I'm not anti-Trinity. I'm one God. The Trinity is just an attempt to know him and explain him. But I want to show you in my talk about how the Trinity really works out. Now, I'll use my dad and my brother, since I get to, as illustrations here. And so I want to tell about spatial revelation, the spatial revelation of God, all right? Because this will get you in your soul if you'll understand it. God is a spirit. He is what? Omnipresent. That means what? He's everywhere. Thank you for helping me. And he is omniscient. What does that mean? He knows everything. And he's omnipotent. What does that mean? All powerful. Sounds like my daddy. Come on. He knew so much, he gave me spankings when I didn't deserve them. I'm telling you what, I didn't believe in spankings for about 17 years of my life. Then I started believing the Bible. But here's the thing about Father God. Y'all ready to hear about Father God? Father God is omnipotent. Father God is omnipresent. Now, I know he's representing Father God. He's not omnipotent, but he's over there, and he's over there, and he's back there, and he's down in Florida right now. You see him, but he's also in the Philippines. Were you aware of that? And he knows everything. That's Father God. I love Father God. I need more of Father God. I pray to Father God. Father God set me free. Father God knows my stuff. But because Father God could not be comprehended, because omnipresence is incomprehensible, because omnipotence is incomprehensible. I know we think we can wrap our brain around that, but omnipresence, I cannot comprehend. I've only been one place at one time in my whole life. The God who was everywhere, Father God, said, I'm going to get in a way that men can comprehend who I am. And so I'm going to become flesh. And that's where a baby that had never been living before, no flesh that had ever lived before, the first begotten of the Father came along. He's my baby. Nathan is the baby of the family. He's the baby, all right? This is the Son. The Son has only lived in a place about the size of New Jersey. The Son has never been to Florida. The Son has never been to Paris. The Son has never been to China. He went down to Africa by way of Egypt for a little while. But most of his life, he stayed in that little area. All the time, he had all of God in him, but he was not all of God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. So I'm trying to show you the Godhead spatially, because we're about to get to the Holy Ghost, okay? Here is omnipresent. Here is unipresent. He is everywhere. He is one place. So the God of heaven never ceased being everywhere at all time.
But the only way I could get to know him was because I'm a guy that is in one place at one time, and he was on the Sea of Galilee asleep, or he was eating out beside the fireplace, or he was walking in Jerusalem street. And because he was walking there, I could realize, man, this is a man, but he's powerful and he's special. But sometimes he tells the wind and the sea to obey him. And what manner of man is this? I know about Father God, but Father God, no man has seen at any time. But this I can comprehend, because he's one place at a time. He needs to sleep. He needs to eat. He says, I thirst. There's sometimes he says, I don't know. The Father knows things that I don't even know. Why? Because he's unipresent. There were times he didn't know. There were other times he knew what they were thinking, but that wasn't all the time. So we've got Father God, we've got unipresent, and now, come here, Mom. Or, no, Durant, come on. You got to be the Holy Ghost. Durant's going to be the Holy Ghost. Did you see that little shout? Give me a high five, Big Daddy. Here's the thing about the Holy Ghost. We're trying to establish a doctrine of the Holy Ghost in you, why it's so critical for you to have it. God is everywhere. He is everywhere at all times, never ceased being everywhere at all times. I've never met this guy. I've never seen his face. If he walked through that door right now, other than being mystically hopeful that I would know it was him because my heart being warmed, I really don't know if I know. I mean, do y'all remember the magazine where they came out with a visage of what Jesus would look like by taking all the people of that time period and the bone structure and the skin tone and all that stuff? And I remember staring and looking, it's still a picture on my computer right now, saying, if he walked up to me, how would I feel? I've got these weird feelings because I've never seen him at any time. I've sought his face. I've loved him. I've wanted to be close to him. I've wanted to sit near to him, but I've never seen him. And so he's unipresent. He's omnipresent. Here's the difference about the Holy Ghost. He's many present. In other words, everybody doesn't have the Holy Ghost. He's in some and he's not in others. Those that he's not in, God's still right there beside him. Father God is. Jesus is nowhere near them because Jesus had to go away so that the many present, because Jesus would never cease being unipresent. Jesus was only in one place. So we had to get the Holy Ghost so he could be in Florida and in Charlotte and in Denver and in San Diego all at the same time. He could be in you and in you, not in... Seriously, there are people say, well, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a difference between feeling him and having him in you. You say, the Holy Ghost is all around me. That's a wonderful thing. You're in a good place. But until he is in you, you are not of him. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, none of his, and none of his. Because the only way you get to Father God is because he became a man, died, rose again, showed himself by many infallible proofs. He was still a unipresence. Only one place at one time, but he had to go away so that he could come to us as the Spirit. It's the same God. It's the manifestation of God unto us.
Thank you, Bubby. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Dad.
This is so critical. This is why when people think we're anti-Trinity, we're not anti-Trinity. We're pro-God. We just want you to understand. John was saying he had to go away so that the Holy Ghost could be given. As long as as Jesus was here, he could not come back as many presents. Because he's all one. He never was three. He never was two. He's all one. But the only way we could know him was through the Jesus story. And when Jesus went away, I say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life.
Now, Colossians 1:27. You know what's bad? I didn't look at the time before I started. It's 8:41. For to whom God would make known what is the riches. Oh, I want the riches, don't you?
I want you to have the riches on this Friday night. You are God's good people. You have carved into your schedule tonight to be here. Of all the places you could be, you were hungry to learn more about the ways of God. And that's why you're here. And I want to put something before you that you can get a grip on the Lord. And when you grab it, it just takes you higher. He wants to make you know the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery? The mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you. See, the Jews couldn't accept that. And so we got to go to the Gentiles to get you to understand it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got to have the Holy Ghost or we can't have the hope. Holy Ghost church, Holy Ghost praying, Holy Ghost tongues, Holy Ghost worship, Holy Ghost prayer, Holy Ghost preaching, Holy Ghost singing, Holy Ghost outreach, Holy Ghost greeting, Holy Ghost ushering, Holy Ghost prayer meetings, Holy Ghost giving, Holy Ghost city. It's got to be the Holy Ghost.
First Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He needs a temple. What ye have of God, and ye are not your own. He is our guide. Now let's get into the Holy Ghost, because as apostolics, there's one thing that we have many times seen through seeking the Lord, that the Holy Ghost was when you speak with new tongues. And that is true. There's no doubt. Holy Ghost is salvation. It's a salvific part of the Bible experience. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to be His. You got to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. That Spirit is not your spirit. I'm not asking you to get excited. Otherwise, He would have said, be born of the smallest spirit. I'm not asking you to reach. I told my church the other day that I really wanted to make some hopscotch up here and three hops over there and they'd get the Holy Ghost. I was wanting it. Man, there's people ready to do hopscotch. So ready. But that's not what He asked. Not our spirit. Now, when you pray, we want you to pray with your spirit. When you worship, we want you to employ your emotions. But it's not your spirit that we're needing. We're needing His spirit, because it's His spirit that will quicken our mortal bodies. If I don't have His spirit, I need the mysterion of God, the mystery of righteousness inside me. I can't comprehend it. I just know what the Word of God says. And so I'm saying, fill me with your spirit. I didn't say it just in the 70s when I was walking around this property raising money. We walked 20 kilometers around this property. I needed the Holy Ghost then. Believe me, it wasn't as nice as it is right now. I'm telling you, we had a donut stop about right here, the table with donuts on it. And, you know, back then they didn't know that the way you fueled people wasn't by giving them Krispy Kreme. Probably die young, because my dad provided energy bars to the walkathon, and they were donuts. But I needed the Holy Ghost then. We needed the Holy Ghost on Howie Circle. We needed the Holy Ghost here. We need the Holy Ghost where we've got to go. It's a mysterious place, but we've got to know that, Lord, I'm not going out of my wisdom. I'm going out of the mystery of your kingdom. So I want to take you to a chapter that you all think it's all talking about taking care of a disorder in the church. And we're going to read a whole chapter. You ready? We're going to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 is a chapter where Paul is trying to set the Corinthian church in order. They were a spiritual church, and yet they were having service, and everybody was trying to interrupt the service and talk in tongues. And then there would be one that'd break out in song, and another one would testify, and another one talk in tongues, and another one break out in song. And I know some churches like that in Fort Lauderdale. Y'all probably don't have any of those here in Charlotte, but in Fort Lauderdale, there's still some churches like that. Just whatever happens, happens. Just whatever. Just wonder. Well, Paul was trying to deal with that in this 14th chapter, but there's a meta-narrative that I think sometimes we miss while we're studying the close-up. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. All right, when he says prophesy, he's talking about speaking with proclamation in a language that people can understand about the greatness of our God. That's what prophecy means here. That's the Greek of this word. It's not foretelling, it's forthtelling. It's not predicting that you're gonna buy a farm in 5 years. It's saying God is great
and he's good all of the time, and it's declaring it with proclamation. But rather that ye may prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh who? To who? Not unto who? Not unto men. So the reason why we're pursuing everybody receiving the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues is because we want you to have that hotline to heaven. Paul said, when you speak like that, you're not speaking to men, but unto God. So when I'm talking in tongues, I know you may think I'm talking to you, but I'm not. I've seen some people who talk in tongues because they want others to think how spiritual they are. And guess what? Everybody around you knows it. They get very hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm that guy. No. You're speaking unto God. It affects your tone. It affects your approach. It affects your intonation. It affects your disposition. You're speaking unto God. For no man understandeth. Now that hymn is added. No man understandeth. What don't you understand? You don't understand what you're saying when you're talking in tongues. Howbeit in the spirit. Whose spirit is it talking about? His spirit. So in your spirit, it's still mysterious. Now I'm telling you, you get around the Holy Ghost long enough and you get enough valleys in your life, you're going to have some prayer that you don't know what to say in English. And so all you can do is talk in the tongues, because you know you need a prayer bigger than you know how to pray. So you reach up and grab the mystery of God and you break it down. And that's not for others to hear. You're talking to God. And so we need to understand what this tongues is for. And so we go to verse 3, please. But he that prophesieth, English with proclamation where people can understand, foretelling, prophesieth, speaketh unto men to do what? Edify and exhort and to comfort. I know some preachers need to read that. Preaching is to edify, it's to exhort, and it's to comfort. And so we're still learning the meta-narrative, the big picture that Paul's trying to deal with by talking about the Holy Ghost. All right, so we're going forth. And so we read on, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So when you talk in tongues, whether you know it or not, Paul said, you build yourself up. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Are you still with me? All right. I would that you all spake with tongues. It's not saying that, well, there was just a few in the church that had it. Listen, you got to get in context. The whole church at Corinth spoke in tongues. It's not like here in America where we open up our doors and say, everybody come. It's a great thing. Back then, it was sort of like I preached in Russia last year. And when I was there, they wouldn't even, during their times of oppression, they wouldn't even announce where the next service was. They literally believed that the Holy Ghost had to tell you. I mean, imagine if that was the way you found out where the church service was. You'd pray a little bit more, wouldn't you? Where's church this week? The Holy Ghost will tell you. This is literally the way they lived. He's not saying, I wish that more of you spoke with tongues. He's saying, I want all of you to get edified, but rather that you spoke in a way that people could understand. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. Does that mean the man that speaketh in tongues is lesser? What he's saying is more profitable. It's more helpful. Paul's trying to change the disposition of the church from being selfish to being selfless. We know you need to be edified. We know you need to be built up. We know you need to talk in tongues and have a move of God. But don't ever do it to the disdain or the disrespect of the people that are in the house that are trying to find out more.
okay, than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. In other words, I have to break my tongue down into a language you can understand. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they did give a distinction in sounds. How shall it be known what was piped or harped? Now, here's what he's talking about, instruments. Back in the day, they didn't have just instruments just to sit around and strum and play music all the time with. The primary purpose of instruments at the beginning was to make a declaration, a time of war. There was a sound that when you heard it, this meant fight. This meant hide. This meant feast. This meant dinner. The sounds had meanings. And if you just got out there and decided to play David Sanborn tonight, nobody in the city knew what was going on. What am I supposed to do? Chuck Mangione ain't playing. Nobody knows what to do. Because even though it's a sound, it does not give direction. And that's what he was talking about, talking in tongues. It's a sound, but for you it edifies, but it edifies no one else. It's speaking unto God, not unto man. And so even the things without there, nobody knows what is piped or harped. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without signification. Or signification, that's right. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. That's what we are to the world when they come in, and all we do is break out and talking in tongues. We're a barbarian. And Paul has this big picture he's trying to say about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is power. It's salvation. It helps you in your lowest point. But there is a big picture that I want you to see, which is a part of the fruit of having the Holy Ghost. Even so, ye, for as much as he's zealous, you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the building up or the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Okay, pray that I can edify. We're still going to be spirit-led, and we're still going to have sometimes a tongue go forth, and no one has the interpretation, and that's when leadership just moves it and says things that people who know, if it's just us in the house, and we all know what is going on, and if it's not, then we make it to where we're trying to edify people. Because we want to obey what Paul said, and for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding, it's unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding other also. In other words, sometimes I'm going to talk in tongues like my dad when he prays. Y'all have heard him your whole time. Sometimes my dad will go off saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then sometimes he'll sing in the spirit. He'll take off singing in the spirit. Sometimes it's with the understanding. Sometimes it's in the spirit. There's nothing wrong with those two things. I'm going to do them both. I'll also sing in tongues, and I will sing with words I understand also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned? In other words, there's an assumption that God came to reach the unlearned, the unhealed, the unrestored, the unredeemed. I have come to reach the unlearned. How can they know how to say amen or at the giving of your thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you say? For verily, thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words. He would rather you, if all you had in you was, I love you, glad you're here. Thank you for coming, heart.
trying to keep it down to five. Paul said, I'd rather you walked out on a Sunday with five words that built somebody that was broken, unredeemed, unrestored, bruised, unhealed. Don't just walk in and have a Holy Ghost tongue talking time. I'm not against it. I want more of it. But remember, it's spot in your speaking. When you're alone talking to God, go ahead and talk in tongues. When everybody's doing it, talk in tongues. Let it flow. But don't you dare give 1,000 words in tongues and not give 5 words to a broken person in that place. Because the big picture is, I want you to build up. I want you to edify. I want you to help the unrestored.
I'd rather you speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be like children. Don't be grown up and bitter. But in understanding, be grown up, be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Did I say that right? With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. What? Tongues aren't for unbelievers. You say, well, that's how they know. No, it's not for unbelievers if the Bible's right. They're going to get it. That's where we're trying to get them all to. But it's not for them. It is for the believers. But to them that believe, it's not to them that believe. Well, Let me rephrase it. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. You and I don't need the tongues. They need to know something just got a hold on me. Boy, I was almost in false doctrine right there, wasn't I? But prophesying serveth not for them that believeth not. It's not helpful, but it's for them which believe. Prophesying, God please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that y'all are crazy? Now I know some people are just proud. Look, we showed them. We're crazy. I am crazy. I'm unchained. After the way that they call heresy so worshiped by the Lord my God. But I don't do it to make them think that I'm mad. I want the Holy Ghost, because without the Holy Ghost I won't see them. Without the Holy Ghost I won't be aware of them. The Holy Ghost is what makes me aware that they're in the house. The Holy Ghost, if you got the Holy Ghost of Jesus, you're not just living for you. You're living to do what he came to do, and that is to seek and to save the lost. I'm done. I'm not going to finish all that chapter. I wish I could. I did to my church, but they're nicer than y'all are. But it goes on. I'm joking. Am I joking, Alex? See there, he doesn't know what to say. Sister Elms, come, I'm almost done. The Bible says in John 14:18, I am with you, Jesus speaking, but I shall be in you. So the receiving the Holy Ghost is an absolute privilege of all believers. It's not just for people who are called Pentecostals. Apostolics were not Pentecostals when they received the Holy Ghost. In fact, they were never called Pentecostals. They were called disciples. Christians at Antioch and disciples by Jesus. They were only called Christians once in the Bible and disciples over 200 times. I'd rather be called a disciple than a Christian. The Holy Ghost, though, is for everybody regardless of religious pedigree. Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off. Here's the thing. If you don't have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, I promise you want it. do want it. It's not a nice add-on. It's the way you become His. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth that's going to keep us and lead us and guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the power of God working in you. Here's the thing about the Holy Ghost. We can't all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there were two things the Lord said would happen. You shall speak with a new tongue, and you shall be my witnesses. And too much of the time as apostolics, we just get specialized in that part. Well, they spoke in tongues, they got it. What if we put a 2-month pause on it and see if they become a reacher? Well, the Bible said they speak in new tongues. It also had a colon. That was in the end of the sentence. And you shall be my witnesses. So the thing about the Holy Ghost is that you are not getting the Holy Ghost just to have an attitude towards God. You get the Holy Ghost to get an attitude toward the lost, the unbroken, the unwell, those that are not healed. And please don't insult God by saying He can't use you. See, when you get the Holy Ghost, automatically He says, I got him. You say, well, I didn't feel that much. I had a man get the Holy Ghost in my church a couple Sundays ago. I've been wanting him to get it so bad. Oh man, he's a great guy, but he's just real logical. And when he got the Holy Ghost, there was no jump, and he just spoke in tongues. Put his hand down, and he said, I spoke with tongues. I'm not looking for man's spirit, I'm looking for God's spirit. I have no other scripture to say than he would speak with new tongues and his disposition towards the lost would change. See, without God, his plan is to take ordinary people and cause them to do extraordinary things. It's not your ability, it's your availability. It's not your fame, it's your faith. It's not your knowledge, it's your relationship. You say, well, oh, it's so hard, it's so heavy. Winning souls is not your responsibility. It's your response to his ability. So you say, I'm not smart enough. No, you got the Holy Ghost. He's smart enough. You say, he can use me? Yes, your smile, guess all he required. Paul said, 5 words. Now, I've got a much higher standing than Brother Paul. I got a great disagreement with him. When I get to heaven, I'm going to tell him, my church spoke 10 words, Brother Paul. 10 words of kindness in every service. But Paul said, I would rather you came to church armed with 5 words of love, of redemption, of healing, of hope, of power, of promise. 5 words where you're not consumed with getting your blessing on, but helping them put their blessing on. 5 words where you forget about yourself, concentrate on him and see them. Jesus called you not for what you were, but for what he could make you to become. He said, I will make you to become the sons of God. And by that ye shall receive power, fuel, energy, force, giddy up. That's what you'll get. Well, I talked in tongues and I'm still waiting for that other part to come. No, it comes together. If you hadn't got that second part, then you ought to go find out which Holy Ghost you got, because the devil talks in tongues too. But the devil's tongue is always to steal every blessing from me. To kill, don't get on my blessing. To destroy, you're God in my seat. Which Holy Ghost did you get? You got to get the Holy Ghost that comes to church with at least 5 words. 5 words. You say, well, I got to go bless my daughter. I could bless my kids every service. How about somebody you really don't know or somebody going through it? How about understanding that the whole disposition of your heart changes? If a man who says he's a follower of Jesus, but he's not a fisher of men, he is telling a lie. If you're not a fisher of men, you're not a follower of Jesus. You're supposed to take them to Jesus.
When you talk in tongues, you know what you're telling everybody around you? I've been to Jesus. And I want you to come to Jesus too. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm done. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, if just the Elms family is in Christ, if just the leadership families are in Christ, it doesn't say anything about your lineage, your birth, your culture, part of the city you were born in. If anyone, broke, busted, disgusted, if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. I'm preaching to some disposition right now. I'm preaching to some understanding. I want you to see the meta narrative of why Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, but Brother Elms, I'm not a soul winner. I can't say I've won many souls. I appreciate your honesty, but all I ask you tonight is when we come and pray, and I want to anoint everyone in the leadership team, and then we're going to have them anoint you. And so I want them to come in just a moment. But before they come, why don't we all stand? Would you be willing to say, Lord, I haven't been willing, but I want to be made willing. See, the thing that you've underestimated about God, you forgot because it was true in you. God always works. In the fishing metaphor, God always works on both ends of the pole. He's got to work on the person that's fishing. Sometimes we cast in the wrong spot. We do a lot of stuff, but he's got to work on those that are fishing. And some people think, well, the reason I'm not catching is because of me. No, you just keep fishing. Because God also works on the other end of the pole. What you don't know is if you cast your net on the other side, he told a whole bunch of fish, make a U-turn. He said, we have to pay our taxes, so I want you to go fishing. Then he ran down to the bottom of the lake. He said, I want you to go find that coin and then swim back over here. And all the time, those disciples just thought, I'm going to go fish. But God both blessed the men fishing and the fish that had the coin in its mouth. You came to God because he was working on you, and those who came to you had no clue. They didn't know the dreams you had had. They didn't know the nights you had stayed up and wept. They didn't know how that one night you were drunk as a skunk and yet you prayed with depths in your heart and you meant it. They didn't know how God had woken you up in the middle of the night, how you drove by one steeple and it shook your heart. Those people who talked to you didn't know that. All they were doing was fishing. So if you quit trying to figure out what God's doing and you just keep doing with your five-word standard what you're supposed to be doing, God will bring the increase. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. Now, go. That's what he said. The Holy Ghost, he'll quicken you. Now go and tell him. Church leadership, if you would come up here right now. Those that are going to pray for the rest of the church, I want you to come and stand forward. Here's my spiritual request tonight. On this Friday night, you all have been fasting, you've been praying, you've been longing. I mean, this church is beautiful. Who wouldn't want to walk in this place? It's pleasant, it's beautiful, it's decorated so nice. Everything is made to reach the people. But when they come through the doors, this isn't what gets them. It's the Spirit of God that gets them. You say, well, I'm not smart enough. Listen, you aren't what's going to save them. You say, well, I'm not good enough. You're not the goodness that they need. They need his goodness. And so if we get to him, take me to him, take them to him, You're not selling yourself. You're not selling this facility. You're not selling this style of worship. You're not selling the style of your pastor. You're taking them to Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come join us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road at the corner of Shamrock Drive. Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Bible study Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Online, find us at firstchurchclt.com or like us on Facebook or Twitter. We hope to see you soon. Come worship with us.